Broadcasting live from Pacific Lutheran University in Tacoma, Washington, this is the MAST Radio Hour, a convergence of MAST Media and Laser, Lute Air Student Radio. It's Tuesday, November 17th. I'm Samantha Lund.
I'm Paris Franklin.
And I'm Eddie McCoven. We hope that you will join us each and every Tuesday as our colleagues from MAST Media bring you the latest in what's going on around campus and in the greater community. Be sure to check out MAST Media Online for the latest on-campus news, intriguing Lute Life stories, and more. Visit massmedia.plu.edu. Top story tonight, we are talking about the selling out of KPLU. In case some of you don't know, our 15 listeners who are listening out there tonight, KPLU is a radio station that is owned by Pacific Lutheran University. It's been a longstanding tradition of news and jazz. It started in the 1960s as our student radio station, then the 80s became a public station. Before we continue with the story, we just want to have full disclosure. I, myself, Eddie McCoven, am an employee of KPLU, and so I want to disclose that to our listening audience tonight. Sam, you've got the scoop on what's going on. Why don't you tell us about that?
Yeah, of course. And I am not an employee, so I'm going to say whatever I want. So kind of what happened was last week, there was a letter that came from the president's office basically saying, sorry, there's been no notice, but as of right now, you're put on notice that we are selling KPLU to KUOW, which is the University of Washington's NPR syndicated news station. Which basically for us means that we're losing our NPR jazz station on campus. It's going to be physically moved up to Seattle, be part of theirs. The areas those two radio stations covered will be merged together. So they'll have the same audience and the same range across Washington. And they are going to keep 20 jobs, but right now they staff 36. So that means we're losing 16 jobs in the process. The sale has kind of been signed off on to be for $8 million. Only $7 million of them will stay here at PLU with us. $1 million will go to KUOW. Like, it's not actually money. It's $1 million worth of ads and marketing material on the new radio station that KUOW will control. So it's like getting $7 million and $1 million worth of free advertising on this radio station that we're saying that we don't even want. President Kreis himself was found saying, you know, we're getting rid of the station because no one listens to radio anymore. Like, the numbers are down about 50% across the board. And then he turned and said, by the way, $1 million of this is going to be going towards advertising on this radio station that we're getting rid of because nobody listens to it.
That's interesting.
Yeah. So I think that's one of the most interesting parts of the story is that he's selling it and saying it's not about money, but you know that somewhere along the lines it really is about money. And if it's about money, then how, like, if it's only $8 million, like, it sounds like a lot of money, but it's really not in comparison to how much money PLU racks in. How much in trouble are we if we're selling our NPR, like, news radio station that puts us on the map and is nationally known?
Well, people are super upset about it, especially because I've heard from people who have, like, listened to it their whole lives. Like, they have a lot to say about it, as well as the people who have worked here for a number of years. And I know it's going over really big in the music department because we do have a big jazz population here, which is why we did have the radio station that had a focus on jazz. And now people are wondering, well, like, if people do really care about this, why would we possibly want to get rid of it unless the motivation is something that has to do with money?
Yeah, of course. And I mean, we closed down Foss, like Foss Residence Hall last year. And the thought was we would tear it down and create a bigger Foss Field, which
and
is
we can't afford
the plan,
it.
And we can't afford it. Exactly. We can't afford a project to literally tear a building down and put grass down in its place, let alone restructure an entire building or gut Neeb and give it a new, like, you know, give it new residence. Like, we can't really put classrooms in there because it's not built for classrooms, and we don't have the money to tear down one building, let alone renovate an entire new building.
And the Martin J. Neeb Center, which is the building across the street that KPLU is currently housed in, along with marketing and communications in the Office of Advancement, that building is named after Martin J. Neeb for two reasons. One reason is that he was actually the general manager of KPLU for a long time. I want to say almost 30 years. And so that's why it's dedicated in his name. The other reason why is because he did most of the fundraising to get that building built. So, mm-hmm. And it was built to be a broadcast studio mainly, you know, for it, it was built for the station. And so if, you know, once this sale goes through, if it does go through, then, you know, what are we going to use that center for? That's named after, you know, yeah. a man who dedicated 30 years in radio.
Yeah.
That always reminds me of kind of the buildings off campus that, like, people will donate to PLU that live in the vicinity, since, like, we are such a nice place to be, and when people pass on or move away, they sometimes will just leave buildings with us, but then they always leave the, like, restrictions following them. So I'm wondering what we're going to do when we already have the namesake of someone who did intend for this building to be a broadcast building, and see whether we're going to continue to honor that or how that's going to look in the near future.
Like some of the houses, I think the Blomquist House is named after the family that that donated that house, and it's now used as a staff office mm-hmm. building, which is pretty cool.
Yeah, but I mean, you get other buildings like our new greenhouse, which was basically the lady decided she wanted to donate money to PLU, and she wanted to build something, and she wanted something to have her name on it, and she set a price restriction on that. So they kept coming back to her with offers of like, oh, you can build part of this building and maybe have your name on part of this building and this and that and the other, until they realized, oh, a greenhouse is in this budget. So we should, you know, give this to this unnamed woman that I'm not going to go into right now because I don't want to call her out. But we should give her this option and she can now have her name forever part of PLU's campus. And, you know, she can put her money towards her namesake on campus. So I think that the different ways that we get buildings is very interesting. But the fact that this one is for journalism and was built in, you know, in honor of journalism pretty much, says to me that unless they fill it with us journo students, they're not doing a service to anybody.
Right. And I think, you know, that it would be a shame to, you know, to just go in and just rip out those broadcast studios that are in there with that purpose of we have, you know, our student radio, we have our student television shows that we produce. And of course we have the award winning Media Lab. Of course, the MAST has won awards as well, but Media Lab has won some awards, and it would be a great space for all of our student media. In fact, it would be a really good forward move for our communication program that if indeed that the radio station does leave, that maybe that's what that space should be dedicated to. And I think probably the Neeb family would agree.
Well, and we do have a new head of the communications department this year, so it should be interesting to see kind of how that all goes together and what that's going to look like when...
Department chair.
Yeah, or sorry, department chair of, yeah, the communications department. So to see what, I believe it's a woman, what her influence would be and whether or not we can do something about that.
That would be Dr. Amy Young, who is chair of communication and theater.
Mm-hmm. Who also has her own podcast.
Who does her own podcast. Yeah. And she uses the studios at KPLU to do her podcast show. So
yeah, cool. I'm sure she has feelings about that. But another thing that I want to point out before we run out of time on the story is the connection to student media that this has, that this very directly has.
Oh, yes.
So because PLU owns the Pacific Public Media, which is the parent of KPLU and the Jazz 24 channels, so they basically own the license for these organizations. If KPLU gets sold to KUOW and the license goes with it, or we end that license because we're no longer using it for our national broadcast, you know, radio station, Laser itself could lose their licensing and not be able to play music on air anymore, which is a huge, I mean, at least being a student media person, like that's a huge slap in the face to student media of not only are we getting rid of this place that gave you internships and all these opportunities and was so near and dear to your hearts, but now we're having to deal with the backlash of what's going to happen to the licensing for Laser, and will we just have hour-long talk shows on here with air in between? Like, does anyone want to listen to our voices for an hour straight? I don't think so.
We could still play music as long as it's not copywritten.
Yes, you can play PLU jazz pieces that PLU has
the
rights to.
Stuff.
So basically we'd become NPR with our voices and then jazz in between from PLU.
I do have some update on that information. I know that's something that has been tossed around over the last few days, and we've been scrambling, you know, to find out what's going to happen to student media, because that AirPlay license covers not only Laser, it covers Mass TV as well. If Mass TV wanted to use music in a broadcast, they could. And we have students who play music upstairs at Old Main Market, but because we have that that broadcast license were covered. So what I did find out actually just a few hours ago is that the university does have its, has its own separate university and colleges airplay license, and a streaming station such as Laser would be covered under it.
Oh, but well, that's good news.
So that's different from an FM airplay license, which they also have. But the question still remains is, are the question that still remains is that KPLU is 88.5 FM, which that covers the FM license. But there's also Jazz 24, which is the 24-hour jazz internet streaming station that KPLU runs. So if they were to sell the streaming license as a part of that deal, would we then lose the one that we have for the university? So that's kind of where we need further clarification from the administration and our legal department and our finance department here exactly what's going to happen. It is definitely going to be an incredible loss, especially for the staff members who, some of which are alumni of this very mm-hmm. university, and you know, they've worked there most of them since they've graduated. Yeah. And it's like, you
know, wasn't the top amount of years maybe in the 30s or something?
There's been some people who've worked there for 20 years.
20 years.
Which, if you work somewhere for 20 years and that's your life, and you went to PLU and you graduated from PLU, like, these people are quite literally living in a nightmare where one morning they woke up and they were told, like, just so you know, in the near future, you might not be able to go back to work.
Well, and what was so disappointing to me was the fact that they said that they've been talking about this for, what, 12 years?
12 years.
And then they just decided to inform us as opposed to giving us notice. And I think it was mentioned in the article that's coming out in Mass Magazine tomorrow that there was a
Friday.
On Friday, sorry about that. There's a professor who was discussing how the last time we sold an asset like this, there was at least some there was some response from the public, and it wasn't necessarily just a huge surprise like this one has turned out to be.
Yes, and you can read all about the KPLU story online at massmedia.plu.edu. You can also read an in-depth article that's going to be appearing in Mass Magazine this Friday. Coming up after the break, we'll be talking about Patty Christ, the First Lady of PLU, and we'll also be talking about the crown jewel of PLU, our music program. But first, we're going to hear some music. Here's Maroon 5 with Sugar. You're listening to the Mast Radio Hour here on Laser, Lute Air Student Radio. Welcome back to the Mast Radio Hour here on Laser, Lute Air Student Radio. So, the First Lady of PLU, also known as Patty Christ, you know, she is probably one of the bigger supporters, I think, of our students than perhaps some of our faculty is. And we actually have a feature about her in this week's Mast Magazine, which is coming out on Friday. To preview that story for us is our very own Paris Franklin. Paris, tell us about this.
Welcome back. We had a reporter and a photographer go over to her home and take some photos of her in her more comfortable setting and just really get a chance to sit down and get to know her. I believe the interview is more than an hour, so our reporter really got a chance to discuss with her the story of her life, essentially. And so we got to talk about her business career as well as her home life and how she became involved with PLU.
And everybody's been to that house, right? Is there somebody in this room has not been to that house?
Oh, it's beautiful.
Sierra.
I'm sorry.
That's Sierra. Sierra.
Mosquitoes.
Mosquitoes. I'm going to have Thanksgiving, though.
Okay, very good.
Oh, yeah, because she... Yeah, so actually on Thanksgiving, they invite people who can't go home to go and have dinner at their home. So if you aren't able to fly home or drive home
that's
or
me.
Whatever, yeah, you're welcome to go have dinner with the Crisis, I'm told.
All right, cool.
Yeah, so they also I might as well add in that other bit of information now. They also like to host the first year garden party. So every year, all the students who are new get bussed over to their house, and they get a chance to see the place in which our president and his spouse live. And there's a lovely rose window pattern garden there, and it's just full of books, and there's a pond, and it's really beautiful. So I'm looking
really
forward to
awesome.
hearing what it's like for someone who gets to go eat their Thanksgiving meal there.
I'll let you know.
Perfect. Yes. Yeah, so we'll learn more about that later. But as far as Patty Christ goes, she met Sir Thomas, not that he's actually been knighted, but she met Dr. Christ in a fitness class in Minot, I think, is that how you say Minot, North Dakota? So it's a town
in North Dakota.
North Dakota. So it's a town that
they're
was
not Irish, guys. Jeez.
Eh. Well, they're near
Canada. What are you talking about in North Dakota? That was Irish. All right.
I mean, the Midwest is full of lots of European descendants. However, when Dr. Christ and Patty met in, I believe, the 80s, she had just started working for Ford, and he was on assignment with the Air Force Academy. And so they were just in a fitness class in this really small town that was about 50,000 people at the time, and he was not doing so well with his dance routine.
Oh.
So she began chatting with him, and then he invited her to go to Perkins with him afterwards and get some coffee, and that's where it all began.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's pretty awesome.
And he had a really interesting history where he grew up on a sailboat in the British Virgin Islands.
Yes.
And then he came here, so now she's gotten to adopt sailing. And then since most of their relationship has actually been a long-distance kind of commuter relationship, they often now spend at least one weekend a month where they try and have no business involved, and they just get to talk with one another, and they go to plays, or they get to go on trips, and they sometimes visit PLU study away classes, and just whatever they can do to kind of have a time to themselves where they don't have to worry about work. Because Patty is a very hardworking businesswoman.
Yes, she is. And she's just so nice. I've had a chance to talk with her a couple of times on campus, and she's a very genuine person, and I really like it when she comes to all the events and she's wearing black and gold or black and yellow, and it's so cool that she supports the university.
Let's crank up some feminism talk in here, guys. Like, her relationship's great. The fact that she's nice is great, but she's like a hardcore lady baller. Like,
she really is.
Let's talk about her work. Let's talk about, she saved Ford $100 million over the course of her career. Who can say that? And Ford, when she joined Ford, was Ford, man, truck, Ford.
Ford,
Wait. It was what?
Man, truck, Ford. It wasn't a woman could come in and just do what they wanted. It wasn't 2015. I'm not going to call her out for her age, but it was whatever year it was when women couldn't come in and work on trucks.
In the Midwest, especially.
In the Midwest. And she came in, she worked on trucks. She said that she had to prove herself to these guys. And it was awesome. I mean, if we're going to really talk about Patty Christ, let's do Patty Christ Lady Baller.
All right. Well, you can definitely read more about the in-depth interview with Patty Christ this Friday in Mass Magazine. And you are listening to the Mass Radio Hour here on Laser, Loot Air Student Radio. If you want to comment on anything we've got going on, just comment on the Mass Facebook page, which is?
Facebook.com/PLU Mast, I think. I'm going to look it up.
We should look
that
up.
And also, Patty Christ loves interactions with students. If you want to go check out her Twitter at Patty L. Christ.
Or you can also just, if you want to comment while we're on the air, it's 253-535-7332. We love talking with our callers on the air.
I have a correction.
You have a correction.
Facebook.com/PLU Mast Media.
We should really make sure we have that. correct. Okay. So speaking of being correct about some things, the music program here is pretty awesome. Right, Sam?
Oh, my gosh. Do a better transition than that.
Okay. And in other news, in addition to having an awesome first lady, we have an awesome music program.
There we go. I like that one.
Tell us about that, Sam.
Okay, so our music program is known locally for sure. We are the music program to be a part of. We're also known internationally, which I don't think a lot of people know about, which basically stems from the fact that all of our professors in the music program are also professionals. So whereas you might have a biology teacher who's not actually a doctor that operates on bodies, all of our music professionals have played in grand symphony halls and did amazing things. So that's just part of what makes our music program so special. And then having that with the combined talent of just having a well-known music program that draws in students who are really serious about, either teaching or performing music for the rest of their lives, really, it rounds out the program to be this powerhouse. It really is a Northwest powerhouse.
Juilliard of the Northwest.
As some would call it.
The Little Juilliard.
The Little Juilliard of the Northwest.
The Little Juilliard.
And I think,
What is it with us in accents today?
I'm going to go into the history and skip past all that weirdness. So the PLU music program began right after the school's charter was signed in 1890. So it's pretty much been around forever.
That was the second staff person they hired after the president was the music director.
Correct.
Well, they said, who was it? They said,
yeah, it was a music
we've
professor.
Had a few, presidents who like specialize in music. Like, it's not just like, oh, we have a lot of like staff. It's like, we're like, oh, you want to be the president of the university and you are a musician? Awesome. Do it. Like,
yes,
totally qualifies you here.
Well, yeah, because it's a big connection to what we refer to as our middle name, where the Lutheran tradition really overlaps well with the musical traditions of the
yes. Well, because Lutheran world. And music, Lutherans and music go hand in hand for sure.
Yes.
So anyways, we got Choir of the West in like the 1920s, and Choir of the West really, it's like really our bread and butter of music on campus. It's really well known. We bring in nationally and internationally known composers to come help us out and teach some classes and perform with us. Like, we have amazing performers that come in to work with Choir of the West, and they are a powerhouse in and of themselves, without the rest of campus. Like, they are amazing. Have you ever heard them?
Choir of the West is just awesome.
Sounds
ridiculously
phenomenal.
Awesome.
Gives you goosebumps, I swear. Like, and no matter what.
The Christmas concerts sell out every year.
Yeah, this year our Christmas concerts on campus are already sold out.
Yep.
Like, you cannot go buy a ticket. This year we also have our Christmas concerts airing on local television, and they're going to air on PBS next year, which is super cool.
Yeah, nationally.
Nationally, yeah. Like, national coverage of our Christmas concerts. It's amazing.
Yes.
Our music students are really amazing because while we're all in finals week, they're in finals week, and they're also preparing for the biggest performances of the year. So they are super duper busy, and everything just turns out so gorgeous, and it's really amazing what they can all accomplish.
And it is in part because of the faculty that we have. You know, it's not people who are just, you know, they don't have a PhD. They have a doctorate in musical arts because that's a performance major. You know, they got that through their experience of performing. And so I think that's what makes the difference from being a theory person to an actual get out there and this is how it should sound and this is how it's going to sound.
Well, and I'm told that we're supposed to have, or for a school our size, it would be more common for us to have maybe 3 or 4 professors that are for the music department, whereas I believe we have over 15 or 16 that are here. So it really just shows how much emphasis we do put on our really wonderful music program and kind of how our faculty relates to that and why we're able to accomplish all of the wonderful things that we're able to accomplish each year.
If you've never been to any music concert, I mean, you definitely want to check out Choir of the West and University Chorale. But if you've never been to any music concert on campus, you are doing yourself a disservice. You need to set aside that hour and a half or 2 hours or whatever it is. And if you're a student, you get in free. So, and if you're an alumni, it's only $5. So it's like, it's a really good deal.
Yeah, no excuse not to.
No excuse to go support our wonderful music program that we have here.
Yeah, and with that, I know that it's not scheduled in our time slot today, but I just got breaking news on my Facebook, so I'm going to share it with everyone.
Share it right now. Breaking news.
So with the huge storm that we had today, obviously everyone knows that the huge storm, like PLU's flooding, Ordall flooded a little bit.
Yeah, I heard about that.
UW had between 16 and 20 trees fall onto buildings on their campus today. And I also noticed today that just out here right next to Neeb, they cut down about 10 trees that are surrounding a parking lot.
Yeah, the Nesvig lot.
Yeah, the Nesvig lot has lost about 10 trees this morning, and like right in time for this huge storm because UW had trees smacking into buildings. So.
I think Whitworth also had, I think, more of their buildings. Oh, I also had a power outage in one of my classes today.
And they had a power outage in the UC today, too.
Yeah, and then I think there were a couple buildings that were completely flooded at Whitworth, more than just residence halls. And there were just a lot of problems happening around the Pacific Northwest.
Seriously. And in other breaking news, since now I'm just having breaking news time, PLU Hall of Fame tennis coach Mike Benson passed away today at noon.
Oh.
So that's really sad. Facebook's blowing up. Everyone misses and loves him already. I just saw him like 2 weeks ago, so it's really sad.
It's a good thing you got to see him for a last time.
Yeah, exactly. And he's super nice. And, you know, talk about, like, being a Lute in the heart of PLU. Like, he was fantastic. So, breaking news all around. Sad stuff.
Yes.
Happy stuff.
Thank you, Sam, for that.
Nostalgic stuff.
There you go. Yes.
Thank you for everything. breaking news and that wonderful music story. So coming up after the break, we're going to be featuring our Go Lutes athletic update. And we'll be talking with somebody who was recently kicked out of Minnesota and what he's doing with that sort of luck. But first, we're going to hear a song from... Who are we hearing a song from? Oh, we're hearing a song from Rudimental featuring Ed Sheeran. This is Lay It All on Me. You're listening to the MASH Radio Hour here on Laser. This is the MASH Radio Hour here on Laser, Loot Air Student Radio. That was Adele with Hello, and before that was Rudimental with Lay It All on Me. Have you ever been kicked out of your home state? Our next guest is pretty much, I mean, that's the rumor. That's the rumor going around, and we're having him on the show tonight to address that rumor. So here is the gentleman who is kicked out of Minnesota. Please welcome to MASH Radio Hour, Sam Ellefson. Hi, Sam.
Thank you. Good to be here, Ed.
Yeah. So tell us what's going on. I know you're a first year here, and you're doing a lot. You're out there. You're as David Letterman, one of my favorite broadcasters, would say, you're out there. You're getting it done, and tell us about what you're getting done.
Well, what we're getting done is a late night show in the cave this Thursday at 9 p.m. If you want to come to the live show, be there at 8:30, or you can stream it online at 9. It's going to be a new show. We're trying to get started, and we're going to try to make it a monthly thing. We're really excited about it.
Definitely. And so where did you get this idea to do a late night show?
Well, I brought a video to Jenny Boots in Mass TV to edit, and I said, hey, Jenny, it'd be cool if we had a late night TV show. She said it would. You should make one. And that's all history from there, you know?
Definitely. And so is that kind of just how the process started from there? And did you and Jenny just kind of jump in on this, or?
Yeah, it actually, Jenny then told Matt that I had the idea, and then I met with both of them, and I just told them the idea and wrote down a couple thoughts, and I sat down and told Matt my thoughts. He's like, so we're going to do your show. And I was like, oh, okay. And then everything kind of picked up, the one thing after another, and it all wound up working out. Now we've got a show coming up in 2 days.
Where I'm surprised Matthew Salzano has not called into the show tonight.
Yeah. He's otherwise engaged. They painted something in the studio earlier with no windows, and I'm pretty sure they're all loopy and just dying. So
right. Okay.
They're working on things for the show. They're getting it ready.
That's what it is. They're working on things for the show. Mm-hmm. And so,
okay, Sam.
And so it's going to be a live,
no windows in there.
A live studio audience. And so like Sam said, if you want to be a part of this, you need to get there like early and get yourself a seat, because the cave is going to be packed. And I really hope it is, because if I say this, it's going to be packed on air, and it's not.
Fingers crossed.
Fingers crossed. Yes. So what can we expect from late night? Is this just a one-off thing, or is this something that we're actually going to do this maybe a couple of times?
We're going to try to do this once a month. We're starting this month, and then next month we'll be releasing videos and other things. And then the following months in the spring, we're going to try to put on a show once a month.
So the thought process behind that, hopefully, is you'll be able to go every week that we have a magazine, see a late night show instead of your news at 9. So you're not getting your newspaper, you're not getting your news at 9. You're getting some really interesting stories instead. And hopefully we can throw the magazine.
Our stories aren't interesting.
Not that all the stories aren't interesting. I mean, interesting, like, put it in italics, like, interesting stories.
Well, we get a lot of material for the show from things that are going on campus, so we use the newspapers and magazine for a lot of those things. So the stories, you know, are interesting. You should check those out as well.
Yeah, and maybe we'll have a few of those, you know, mags there show-wise, so you can go to the Late Night Show, pick up your magazine early. It'll be a whole student media kerfuffle.
And kerfuffle.
You can, ooh, good word.
Kerfuffle, and you can laugh at the show. Read a magazine. It should be a really good time.
It'll be fun. So, Sam, where did you get the kind of, you know, what's the format of the show? Is are we really kind of going like your stereotypical late night show? Are we looking at like Jimmy Fallon and Conan? Are we doing that type of show where it's really a variety show?
Mm-hmm. It's the first show is going to be more like the Jimmy Fallon Conan show, but as we get into it, anything can happen. We're out to entertain you guys, and you we're going to really throw anything in the mix. Could be more SNL. We're going to have videos. We're going to have skits. We're going to have fun stuff. We're going to bring people on. We're going to have talents. It's going to be a good time. A whole Great. Hodgepodge of things.
Great. I'm really excited to see this. And I really hope that our Loot community comes out to support this. And, you know, this is a big undertaking for a first year. I think we were joking around this, saying, you know what, a first year is doing a show? This is pretty awesome. So we're looking forward to it. And Sarah Giomi from Mass TV is here. Hi, Sarah.
What's up, Sarah Bear?
Come up to the mic.
Hi, guys.
All right. It's good to have you. And Sarah Giomi is our one of our producers for Mass TV. So
She's lovely. We're
glad to have her in studio tonight, kind of watching us to make sure that we're doing everything okay.
You guys are awesome.
That we're not, you know, getting out of line here. So
I'm keeping an eye. You guys are doing good so far.
All right. Very good. Well, did anybody else have anything else for Sam? Ask Sam about the show?
I think that we should challenge Sam.
Ooh.
That if we get callers to call in at some point tonight or tomorrow or in the near future that has a dare for him to do on air, he should have to do it.
I would be more than willing to take you up on that.
Okay,
so if you would like to call into the Mass Radio Hour or one of our other Mass branded shows on Loot Air Student Radio this week, the telephone number is 253-535-7332. That's 253-535-7332. Let us know what your dare is for Sam Ellefson, and he will do that. On his show.
That seemed almost prepared. Did you have that ready to go, Sam? Were you?
We have a caller.
What do you mean that I have that prepared? I never would. I just text really fast. You have no idea. I just copy-pasted to all of my friends. So they're excited. I don't have that many friends, so it didn't take very long to.
Sam on Sam.
I was on, the other day I was like, Sam, let's be friends. And he was like, I don't know, my friendship goes for a lot right now.
He threw down the gauntlet.
All right.
So I was like, no.
Okay. And we do have our caller here tonight. We have Matthew Salzano. Matthew, thank you for...
Can you? About 100 feet away. It's really a long distance.
It's very long distance on this campus. So we're talking with Sam Ellefson, you know, our star here for the upcoming late night show. So what do you have to add about that?
Sam, I've got a dare for you on your show tomorrow or Thursday.
Let's hear it, Matt.
Sarah Giomi and I think you need to ask a girl on the date.
Ooh. On the date or a date?
As I say this, it's hard.
Live, in front of everybody.
Wait, so somebody just in the audience? I like that. You just have to, like, point at some girl in the audience.
Yeah, yep. Ask her on a date.
Oh, God, that's going to be awesome. Be
nice. You got to tell us ahead of time so that we can have the robotic camera set on her face.
Let's just give a date away. Let's tape it to the bottom of a random chair,
Matt,
and whoever's sitting in that chair.
Have you run this by Josh Biersma?
Josh Biersma gets no say.
I don't know, a cam on the audience?
Not hard.
Not hard. Okay, so that is the official dare then.
That is the official dare?
We've
hey, got Sam.
I mean, we could wait for some other caller. Someone might have a better one.
Shoot darn, since I can't curse on the radio.
Shoot darn.
Oh, good times. Well, Matthew Salzano and Sarah Giomi, thank you for calling in all the way over from the Mass TV studios. We appreciate you calling into the show tonight and providing that dare for our guest, Sam.
Thank you, Edward J. McCoven.
We appreciate you.
Thank you very much. You all have a good night.
Are they on drugs? Was that drugs that they were on just
That's
then?
Just them. That's just them.
Matt was drinking coffee. I don't know if that
Oh, there it is. There it is.
That was it. Well, everybody, you know, make sure that you come to the cave on Thursday night at 8:30. The show starts at 9 o'clock. It's a late night with Sam Ellefson. If you are lame and can't be there in person or you can't get a seat because everybody else is there because that's the place to be on Thursday, then you need to stream it on YouTube, PLU Mast. Isn't it? Is it PLU Mast or is it Mast Media on YouTube?
How do you guys not
on YouTube?
Know
it's
this?
Just Mast Media.
On YouTube, it's Mast Media. There it is.
There's a link on Facebook.
There's a link on Facebook. We'll push it out so much All on right. social media that you will
perfect.
Know.
All right,
you will know.
Thank you for coming on the show tonight, Sam.
Yeah, no problem.
And now it's time for our Go Lutes athletic update.
Go Lutes! All right, guys. So breaking news: Lutes. Football, well, we lost again 38-10 to Linfield.
Oh, no.
For their senior day. I know. To finish up the 2-7 overall.
Thank you, Eddie. No clapping.
Go Lutes!
Wah, wah.
And a 2-5 in conference, senior linebacker Kyle Bennett was named the second team defense, while senior defensive lineman Chase Hauser and sophomore offensive lineman Austin Striplin each received honorable mentions. For cross country, Brad Hodkinson and Kyle Rapasqua claimed all West Region honors, and Hodkinson placed fourth overall to earn a berth to the national meet, which will be on November 21st, as the Pacific Lutheran men's cross-country team placed 11th at the 2015 NCAA Division III West Regional Championships last Saturday at Pomona College. For swimming, the women's team climbed to 14th in Division III rankings, with first-year Alex Weeks being named Women's Swimming Student Athlete of the Week. The men's team also found its way onto the rankings, sitting at number 46 in the most recent poll. They're back in action this Friday and Saturday at the Northwest Invitational, and they'll be off until late January. Men's basketball started up last night, losing 105-60 in an exhibition against Portland State. The team was missing Dylan Foreman due to an injury, but they hope to have him back soon. They can get back on the court this weekend, facing Texas Lutheran Friday and New Hope Christian Saturday in the Puget MacArthur Classic. The women's team is in action this weekend as well, as they'll begin their season at the Doug MacArthur Classic. They'll face nationally ranked St. Thomas Friday, followed by a game against Hardin-Simmons Saturday. Go Lutes!
Awesome. Thank you, Sierra Mosquitos, for our Go Lutes athletic update. Yes, it's really awesome to have all of these people on the show. Who do we have on the show tonight? We've got David Leon, and David, say hi.
Hey.
Yeah, so David is keeping our time on the rundown along with Monica, and we've got Helen, and we've got Julia, and we've got Brooke Thames in studio tonight, and it's just a fun crowd here tonight. So, and you know, we can't really do this show without all of these wonderful people here, and we can't do the show without all of you, our listeners.
We couldn't do it without you either, Eddie.
Thank you.
Throw in mad shade.
Don't listen to them, Eddie. You were the bomb.
Okay.
It's missing a flare without you.
It's really awesome because your mic was off when you did that.
Why did you turn my mic off?
Oh, because I have the power for that. Anyway. All right. Listen to Lute Air Student Radio all week for an eclectic mix of music and talk.
Oh, that's me. Make sure to pick up Mass Magazine this Friday. We promise it'll be better than the last one. Clap effect. Yeah!
Paris, that's you.
Sorry about that. My laptop shut off for a second there.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, make sure to listen to Steve McGrain with the Mass Radio Sports Show Fridays at 2 p.m., followed by the Brooke and Sam Show with Brooke Thames and Samantha Lund.
I'm so distracted.
We have too many people
Tuesday,
in the studio,
make
apparently.
Make sure you listen to Molly and Thomas in the morning at 10 a.m. For everything else, go to massmedia.plu.edu. I'm Samantha Lund.
I'm Paris Franklin.
And I'm Eddie McCoven. This has been the Mass Radio Hour, a convergence of mass media and laser. Thanks for listening, and good night.
I guess for now you've got the lesson learned.
I'm sorry.